I believe Laura Dana is going to come and read now, and then John will speak to us.
The reading for this evening is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of the day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. Every day we are blessed by you. Every day you demonstrate to us your loving care. And every day, Lord, you speak to us. Only so we will have our ears and our minds open, our hearts open, for your word to dwell in us. So, Lord, tonight as we come into your presence again, as we search your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be at work in us. In our hearts we will be searched. And we'll be spoken to, and we will hear what you've got to say for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure about you, but when I read Psalm 46, it's one of those psalms that, I don't know, jumps out of the pages to you. I've got Psalm 51, who is one of the psalms that is very close to my heart, and I would say next to it is Psalm 46. Some people, some Bible scholars called the Psalm 46 the Song of the Holy Confidence. And this psalm was particularly close to the heart of Martin Luther. It is said that when he heard of a bad news or any discouraging news, he would say, "Let us sing the 46th psalm in concert, and then let the devil do his worst." He had that confidence that when you sing this psalm, you come closer into the presence of God, because it gives you that confidence that only trusting in God you can have. George Campbell Morgan, the great evangelist and pastor of Westminster Chapel, said, "Comment on this great song of confidence seems almost unnecessary. So powerfully has it taken hold on the heart of humanity, and so perfectly does it set forth the experience of trusting souls in all the ages and tumultuous times." And it seems to me and to us, I believe, I hope that you can agree with me on this one, that every generation has a time there is a lot of bad news, a lot of, well, we can call them tumultuous times, where there is unrest, where there is unhappiness, and there is a lot of bad things happening. But in that place, God speaks. And if I had to introduce this, I'll remember, I think I was about 8 years old in 1989, 22nd of December, with my whole family. We're watching on TV, live, the Romanian Revolution. And we could see bodies lying on the streets in Bucharest and tanks crossing over and killing people. But in the same time, I've never seen anything like it in my life, around 200,000 people kneeling and saying together the Lord's Prayer and crying out and saying, there is God. Don't tell us there is not God. There is God. Now, that's an image for nearly 30 years. It's going to be 30 years in December this year. But it's an image that stays with me and, again, draws me to that place where I can understand that God is not absent in our world. He is still at work, no matter mankind can say. This psalm is organized in three sections, and each section closes or is followed by a word there. We don't read this word, don't we? Do we? Sometimes we ignore these little words at the end, written down in italics, and we think, oh, we don't know what those are. So I've done a bit of a search to see what this word means, and I hope I do pronounce this correctly. I was just sharing with Janet earlier on, because in Romania you pronounce this differently, and you call it Sheila in Romania, where we've got Sheila's here, names of a person, but here it's Sila. So it means stop, ending, or forever. And it's a pause for the singer. It's a sign for the singer to stop and consider what was just said. So if we started well today, tonight, and thank you, Rebecca, for inviting us to be still and stop for a moment and consider what God has done. So I will encourage you that after looking at each section, we will stop for a minute or two just to consider what God has said to us in that particular section. I hope you agree, and we're gonna do this together. The first section I've entitled A Declaration of Faith. If majority of Psalms start with a plead or a cry out to God, this one is different. This one starts with a declaration of faith. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Faith is always good to start with, isn't it? It's like a foundation. Once you've got a strong foundation, you can build up on that. If there is no foundation, you can't really trust that whatever you build there will last. Now, I just want you to remember the parable that Jesus tells in the Gospels when he talks about the houses, the two houses, one built on a rock and one built on a sand. And just think about the fact that if the house does not have deep, strong foundations, then whatever it comes, that house will not last. And we agree with that, and we teach our children that, which is great to understand. But what is it to have your foundation built on the rock? What is it that helps us to put our faith in God? Is it from us? Is it from God? The author of the psalm says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present trouble, ever-present help in trouble. Now, we could think that, we live quite a comfortable life here in UK, and we don't experience the troubles that others have. But at one level, we are all called to trust in God. And depending on our trust, God can work in us. You see, if there is a very weak, shallow foundation, God cannot build on us. And the call is to put our faith deep in Christ. When our faith is in Christ, then he can work in us. He can build on that and make us the people he wants us to be. You see, God never changes. You see, if someone builds on a sand, the sand can shift and you get cracks in a house, in the building, and you've got problems. And those who are doing building work know better than I do. When you've got a house that is full of cracks and you've got problems, sometimes you have to put it all down because the foundation was not laid properly. It's the same with our faith. If our faith is deep in Christ, then there is no structural problem. But if there is no deepness in our faith, to say like put it like that, then there are cracks in our lives all over the place. And sometimes we're asking ourselves, Lord, what's going on? But the problem is not with the Lord, because he stays the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he will be the same. The problem is with us. So, when we fear, why do we fear? 21st century is, it said, to be the century where people are terrified of everything. I remember a few years back, my nephew, we were in the garden, and my nephew saw a butterfly. And as soon as he saw the butterfly, he got so scared. He ran into the house and said to his mom, "Mom, there is a dragon in our garden." And that's a butterfly. Now, to be fair, I was brought up in the countryside. And I thought that butterflies were the most beautiful things. I will never, ever cross my mind that I will compare that with a dragon. But 21st century children can see a dragon in the butterfly. Reality is there are many things that can scare us, and fear grips on us. We have fear of the problems that can encounter tomorrow, even if tomorrow might not bring those problems. Now we are told that we have to be fearful that maybe in the supermarkets there will be no more carrots if Brexit happens. So, you know, just make sure you've got a good load of carrots in your fridge. You never know. And also, there will be no money in a bank because all the banks are emigrating or going across the channel on either side. Or there will be loss of jobs. Or even, I have to confess, I was really shocked to this hearing this one just maybe last week or the previous week, a couple of weeks ago, that they are so afraid of having violences in London if Brexit doesn't go as it should be going, that they have an evacuation plan for the Queen and the royal family. And I was thinking, wow, must be very difficult. Some people really can't sleep at night. They need to find themselves a job. What are other fears that really grip on us? I have to say there are many dark prophets out there who are trying every time we watch the news on BBC channel, we see dark predictions that everything is going to go down and everything is going to go wrong. And in a way, because of our nature, we feed those fears, and some of those fears become reality. Fear paralyzes people, paralyzes us, destroys people's lives. Families are destroyed by fear. Fear destroys our dreams. Sometimes dreams that God has given us. Sometimes things that God has called us to are destroyed because of our fear. And fear ignores the great opportunities that God has put in us, in each one of us. Fear, allow me to say, kills our souls. On the other hand, I don't want to finish so negative. On the other hand, I would say faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is it's there to build, is there to create. Faith is there to develop our relationship with God. Faith is there to bring out in us the best that God can do with us. I used to have strapped to my keys a piece of wood that would say, the first verse was written on it, the first verse in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And there is a question there, whom shall I fear? Faith encourages, faith uplifts, faith brings joy, hope for the future. Faith sees God at the center, not the man. Fear sees the man at the center. Faith has the courage to taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. And again, I would dare to say that faith puts God as our refuge and strength when everyone chooses to turn their backs to us. And there is a stop there. Sila. Pause for a moment. Contemplate this. See that we are safe under God's canopy. It is an end of the passage, of this short passage, but this is an everlasting truth. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Let's stop for a moment and think of that. Okay, let's go to the second section of the psalm, which is from verse 4 to verse 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her and at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I've entitled this part of the psalm, God is involved in our lives. And I would dare to say, God is involved in our lives to the smallest and insignificant matter that is happening or issue that happens in our lives. Some out there dare to say that God is absent in the best case. So many times I had discussions with people who don't believe in God, but make God responsible for all the bad things that happened around the world. So a few years back, I'm sure you remember, where there's that great tsunami in Asia where hundreds of thousands of people died in a few minutes. People were saying and pointing out their finger and saying, where was God there? Really? Can you say there is a God? And if it is, he must be a very bad God. Which God would like so many people to die in a few minutes? Despite that, I would dare to say that God is still involved in our lives to the smallest thing. Here, the psalmist talks about a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now, you have to understand, I have seen a documentary about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and the whole city is fed with water through this little stream that comes from under the mountain, the Temple Mount, flows down, and there that is used for, it was used for washing the sacrifices at the temple, but also for the needs of the city. That is a physical image of what God does in our lives through the Holy Spirit. You see, we are not alone in this world as Christians. God has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Christ in us, Paul cries out, the hope of glory. Without the Holy Spirit in us, there is no hope. There is no direction. There is no power. There is no strength. The Spirit of Christ in us, its streams make joyful our life, whatever we go through. Paul teaches us in the New Testament that we, as Christians, are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about it when he writes to the church in Corinthians, and he says, "Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not on your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. As God is in the holy city, as God was in the temple, in the holiest of holiest, so the Holy Spirit is in us and is this ever-flowing presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us, refreshing us and giving us hope for the future. You see, if the Holy Spirit was not in us, we will become stale, without taste, fed up with life, and our faith will shrink until it disappears. But we've got the Holy Spirit that feeds us, that grows us, that brings us close to God. And we will not fall because God is in us. Because we believe that what Paul wrote to the church in Colossians, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. You see, the greatest cataclysm could happen around us. This psalm pictures one of these cataclysm that you know, where you can see everything is falling apart. You have the image of mountains falling into the deep of the sea, where you have the mountains crumbling. Then you have these waves sweeping everything. Almost, if I have to make a parallel, I would think of Noah's flood, when everything is destroyed around us. What do you do then? Well, we know what we do. We keep our faith, because even if all this happened, we're still God, a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. I have to say, over the recent years since working in Koinonia, I had, almost daily, I have the opportunities to use these verses in our conversations. You think that all the good Christians are always strong, where we're not all always strong. And that's the reality. And we do need someone to remind us every day that God is there. God is in us. God is with us. God will never leave us, nor forsake us. Even if we walk away, He will never leave us. When we don't hear from God, it's not because God doesn't speak to us. It's because we have chosen to go away from Him. We are not close to Him, but He's always close to us. The Holy Spirit seals us for the day of the final redemption. The Holy Spirit is in us, the river of living water flowing through us, and the river of living water that guarantees our ultimate salvation. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And again, pause for a moment. Take some time to consider this. Reflect. We are safe under God's canopy. So let's spend another minute just reflecting on these truths. Now, the last section, from verse 8 to verse 11. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease, and to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I've entitled this part as Be Still and Know That I Am God. They are very well known verses, and I even read every single morning a daily encouragement, words of encouragement from Dr. Micha Jazz, who has entitled his series "Be Still and Know That I Am God." So if you are, if you don't read anything in the morning when you're quiet time, or you want something that will build you up, you can go on Premier Radio, and you're going to find that there. It's very, very encouraging. But "Be Still and Know That I Am God" is a call to consider the glory of God. Now, we've been going through the story of Elijah, and we looked at Elijah, and we see this particular moment when Elijah has the greatest moment in his life. Elijah is on the peak of his ministry. He's there on Mount Carmel. Fire comes down from heaven at his prayer, and people can see that God is God of Israel. And after that, here comes the drop. Deep depression, fear that he's going to be killed by the queen, and he runs away. And he runs away without being sent by God, but he runs away to the mountain of God. And then he is kind of depressed, and he says, "That's it, I had enough, I better die, what's the point?" You know, and how many of us haven't been in that place, really? But there, God shows his glory to Elijah. And what is interesting is that God's glory is not the fire, is not the earthquake, is not the wind. God comes and shows his glory to Elijah in that whisper. And I feel sometimes we expect God to come with drums and God to come to us making lots of noise. But God comes in a silent whisper. And if we don't become quiet, if we're not quiet, we might miss God speaking to us. We might miss God's glory. You see, when we have experienced spiritual earthquakes in our lives and everything seems to be tumbling down and falling apart, we might hear a lot of noise. But the solution is that we go and set ourselves on a side and are still, so we can hear what God has to say in that place of destruction. It's not easy to be still. And I have to say that living a very busy life, working life, and manic, sometimes you're thinking, well, the last thing that I want to do is just sit down and do nothing. And sometimes this is exactly what we need. And stillness is there when we come before the Lord and we shut out all the noises, all the pressures. There will be no more stuff in a supermarket. There will be economical problems. We'll not be able to pay our mortgage. We'll not be able to pay our bills. We're not going to get a salary, a pay rise this year. There are crimes increasing on the streets. There are violence, drugs, and everything. And you're feeling, oh no, I can't cope with this anymore. You know, and it's so overwhelming. But then the only place where we can hear what God has to say, when consciously come and set ourselves aside and say, "Lord, help me to be still. Help me to hear your voice." A few years back, I've heard a story of a man, a usual Christian as you and me, who did a very hectic life. He was one of the high people in the banking system, one who will deal with billions and billions of dollars and pounds. And one day he felt his life was crumbling down and there was no sense to it. So he didn't know what to do. He was a member of a church. He spoke to his pastor, and the pastor said, "Well, I can ask you one thing. Just go and be still and listen to what God has to say." And he said, "Well, I don't know how to do that." And he said, "Well, I can give you an advice. Go and buy yourself a rocking chair," he said to him. "Put it in your in your lounge and wait on the Lord. Get your Bible if you want, but just wait on the Lord. And this man did so. So he went there and he didn't know what to expect, and he took his rocking chair and his Bible and started reading one of the Psalms, and he didn't know what to expect. But the Lord spoke, and not because God didn't speak to him before, but the Lord spoke to him in that particular moment, and he had the courage and the faith to go that day to work and resign from his job. Not that was very wise for his family. And wait on the Lord, what was God's guidance for him. The very next day, the Lord had something in place for him. There was somewhere where he was really, really needed. Financial job again. He was very useful. He could have an income for his family. And in the next 10 years, from that place of stillness, God used him year by year. He became one of the leaders of the church. And then he was called to plant a church in his city, in a place where no one will go, and grow up his bring up his family, his children, so they can become people of God, servants of the Lord. And then he grew in that place where he could every morning at 6 o'clock go in the presence of the Lord on his rocking chair, and he would speak to God, and God would speak to him, until the day when he was diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer. He didn't know that he had it. And they said, well, there is nothing we could do for you. And then he said, well, I want to go home. So he went home. And in that place of stillness with God, he was able to say goodbye to all the loved ones, to all the people in his church, and say, you know what? The best things that I ever discovered in my life. One, when I met Jesus. Second, when I started to use this chair, when I could have my time with the Lord. A great testimony that when we are still and listen to what God has to say, no matter what happens around us, no matter how things are crumbling down, God speaks to us. I'm going to read to you interesting translation of one of the verses, the last verses in the psalm. Be still and know that I am God. Step out of traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. And if we didn't hear it for the first time, I haven't insisted on verse 7. Now verse 7 is again repeated. Just maybe we have missed something. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And surprising or not, there is another Selah. Be still for a moment. Take a long look at the God that you serve, at the Christ that has saved you. Be still and consider the Holy Spirit in you. It might be a forever moment for each one of us. Amen.